It is not hard to destroy a college.
Last season, the podcast Campus Files brought you stories of fraternity drug rings, stolen body parts, campus cults, and more.
And now Campus Files is back for another season.
There's a guy screaming into his phone. He's like, I just saw Charlie Kirk get assassinated right in front of me.
Every week is a new episode and a new story.
It was so chaotic.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Yo, it's Jay Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba
Casino. Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, wherever you get your shows.
Brayden Soprena here as we preview the Valley League as part of our coverage of high school football, getting ready for kickoff on August 23rd. We are now joined by the longtime coach of the Valley Center Jaguars. His name is Rob Gilster. Coach Gilster, how are you doing today?
Doing great. Yeah, we're back at school, so all is good.
We're getting excited for high school football here. I know you guys are probably excited up there, up on the mountain. You guys 8-4 a season ago. You're coming in this year. You got 7 of your 22 starters coming back, but you got to replace some big guys in Mazzetti at quarterback. Of course, Ed Hill at lineman. When I was talking with you a couple years ago, you were talking about how that class that just graduated was one of your better classes. What is the plan in terms of trying to replace that said class?
Yeah, no, you got to come to work every day because there's a lot of work to do. When you have a experienced class, you maybe don't have to coach as much, but when you have new guys, it's a lot of work. You got to make sure they're doing things right all the time, and you just got to be very attentive and on it. So we're working hard as coaches, and we just knew this was going to happen, and we're ready to meet the challenge.
There's a lot of challenges for Valley Center in terms of, getting numbers up there. But you guys seem to, turn out a lot of winning programs throughout the years. How difficult is it for you and your staff to, try to work with, the small numbers you have, and you go against a lot of schools that might have, just a lot bigger teams than you guys do?
Yeah, we're probably about half the size of most schools we play, but we have a great community. Our community here loves football. A lot of the young people, enjoy coming to the games and supporting our team. So we have a great culture for football in Valley Center. So that's one of the things that we're excited about. I have to work really hard. We work really hard to recruit kids. I'm on campus every day. I'm in the middle of the quad at lunch. We're always talking to kids about encouraging them to be involved in everything, but mostly, I'm always looking for football players on campus.
Let's talk about your schedule a little bit, especially the non-league, before we get into league play. At Mount Carmel to start off the season, Otay Ranch, at Rancho Bernardo, Imperial gets to travel to you guys this year. And then, of course, you got La Costa Canyon later on in the season as kind of like a cross-league type game as well. What is your philosophy in scheduling games? I know you got a lot of good teams this year in Otay Ranch. Rancho Bernardo was good last year. And, of course, La Costa Canyon on your schedule. What is your philosophy in terms of scheduling games, and how did you put this one together?
Well, I used to look for schools of our same size, but same schools, same size schools don't want to play us anymore. So we got to go play bigger schools. So I would rather not be challenged as much as we are, just because of possible injury and going against bigger, stronger teams. But that's all that will play us now. So we're kind of forced to play up. And, I like all those guys, the head coaches for RB. Tristan's a great guy. And, Kerry Laguerre is great at Imperial. And, all those guys. So Lance at Otay. And then Sean at La Costa. So they're just great guys to compete against, So I don't know if there's any magic to my scheduling. It's basically who will play you anymore.
It seems to be a recurring theme for a lot of teams out here in San Diego now. It's tough to find games. You find it, you know, challenging even to find games against teams that are, you know, bigger size than you, solely on the fact of, you know, how good you guys are for being a small school?
Well, we got to play up, so we know that. So there's not a shortage of teams that want to play us, but they're usually teams that are Division I teams that have, you know, 2,500 kids, and we have a little under 1,200. So we don't have a shortage of teams that want to play us, but they're just bigger schools and top schools in the county.
Well, I know you like going to Hawaii every once in a while. We talked about that 2 years ago. Don't have a Hawaii trip this year, but Jason Patterson down at Orange Glen's going out to Hawaii. I know he used to coach on your staff and has been on those Hawaii trips. You got any advice for him as he leads the team by himself this time to Hawaii?
Yes, do not have anything in your cars that has value. Leave the windows down when you park, and nobody will break into your vehicles. That's my advice. Yeah, that's my advice.
Always a good time, you know, traveling out of state with your team well. Who are some of the impact players you're going to have for the Jaguars this season? I know we talked about earlier, you know, trying to replace such a great class that you had just a season ago. But, you know, who are some of the guys that are stepping up right now for Valley Center as you get ready for Mount Carmel on Friday?
Yeah, well, our quarterback, Frank Staley, who has been behind KJ the last 3 years, is exceptional. He's an exceptional quarterback, but he just hasn't had the opportunity because of KJ. But I'm excited to see what he can do. He can make all the throws. He's very explosive when he gets the chance to run, and he's a great leader. So Frank Staley, our quarterback, is going to be a guy to watch. And then on the defensive side of the ball, Tristan Garcia is our middle linebacker. He also will be playing running back for us. He's a super intense kid, hard worker, and very talented. So I would say Frank Staley on the offensive side of the ball, and then Tristan Garcia on the defensive side of the ball and running back.
Last thing for you, Coach Gilster. Let's talk about the Valley League in general. When talking about North County football, a lot of people like talking about the Avocado League, but this league's not bad either. San Pasquale's always got some size. Rancho Buena Vista last year had a great running back. Ramona's usually a really good football team, and Escondido this year should have, you know, a lot of big players coming back for them as well. Of course, Fallbrook, the last team in that league with you guys with Valley Center. How difficult is it to play these teams week in and week out when you are a small school, you're going against some big schools, plus, you know, the competition level is actually pretty good up there in the Valley League as well?
Yeah, with the addition of Ramona this last year in our league, our league got better. And, you know, we were excited that they came into our league because it gave us one more team. So, yeah, it's a very competitive league. You know, Fallbrook obviously is kind of working through some things, you know, as far as the coaching situation there and that type of thing. But everybody else is kind of very, very challenging. They're well coached. They got good kids, and it's fun every Friday night, you know, competing for a Valley League championship.
Coach Gilster, thanks again for joining us today on 97 Through the Fan. We appreciate you every time you come on the air with us, and good luck the rest of the way.
All right. Thank you, guys. We appreciate all you guys do for high school football.
Brain Sprinter back here, a high school football podcast. We are breaking down each and every league. On this episode, we break down the Valley League up in North County. Six teams: Ramona, Valley Center, San Pasquale, Rancho Buena Vista, Escondido, and Fallbrook. I'm joined again by the North County guru himself, Mr. John Maffey. Maffey, we already broke down the Palomar League. Let's get to the Valley League. Real quick, I just listed all the team names. I know you're pretty familiar with the teams up there. What is the first name that jumps out to you in terms of the Valley League?
You know, that's a great question. For me, it's probably the junior quarterback at Escondido, Robbie Ramos. I think Robbie's got 21, 22, 23 starts under his belt, started as a freshman and a sophomore, and has been good. I think he's ready to take the step from being good to being very good, and if he is, then, you know, that's the name that'll jump out and people should remember.
I'm talking about team wise. I think the favorite is usually Ramona or Valley Center. That seems to be the two top teams up in the Valley League, kind of battling it out each and every year. I know Escondido is supposed to be better this year. They're kind of a sleeper team. RBV, coming off of not having Dorian Richardson this season, might be a problem for them. San Pasqual, they always have some decent size, and I heard they're also supposed to be better. And then you got Fallbrook, who unfortunately, I mean, it's not any of the kids' fault, but they've had three coaches in the last 6 months. And again, not really the coach's fault either, because, you know, life happens. And,
yes.
You got to make the most of, you know, the best opportunity for your family and take care of yourself first before you, start worrying about coaching a high school football team. And, you know, we wish, the coach the best of luck up in Michigan. But, you know, it's going to be tough for Fallbrook to try to overcome that. And then having, multiple coaches and multiple instruction, and hopefully they don't kind of change the system too much for these kids, because it might be a tough time for them this season. We're going to start in alphabetical order like we always do. We're going to start with Escondido, that team I was talking about earlier. Kind of the sleeper team up there in the Valley League. They went 3-7 last year, 4-3 JV team. They had wins over Hilltop, Chula Vista, and Fallbrook. Notable losses last year: West Hills, RBV, and San Pasqual. They open up with a negative 6.7 rating, according to CalPreps. They are returning 18 of their 22 starters from a year ago. They open up with Hilltop. They got Orange Glen, a little bit of a rivalry game there as they battle for Escondido. Then they're at Chula Vista. They got Poway from the Palomar League. And then they're going to play West Hills later on in the season to round up their non-league games. This is the team that's going to, I think they're going to do a lot better. I didn't go exactly week by week the games that they're going to win or lose. So I think they're going to have a winning record. I'm going to go with that, as vague as I possibly can, because they're going to be a lot better. I don't think they're going to beat Orange Glen. I think they can beat Hilltop, but we know Drew Wessling does a great job there at Hilltop. That's going to be a good week one matchup. They're better than Chula Vista. Poway's going to give them some trouble, but I think they're going to rack up a lot of wins in league.
I agree. I think that's a team that can go 8-2. And win that league, and they're my pick to win the league.
Look at that,
and you've gone
with two surprises.
I am.
For your league picks. You're going on a limb here.
And just let me give you some numbers on Escondido. They lost their last five games of the year last year. They were outscored 101-7 over their last three, and 143-21 over their last four. And they are 20,
and you're picking them to win the league.
And they're 24-64 since 2008. And I'm picking them to win the league.
And you're picking them to win the league.
But
they got a nice new stadium. It's nice up there.
They have a beautiful stadium. But I think this is. Yeah, and I had a really nice, almost 3-hour visit with their coaching staff. Went in and the coaches were there, and the basketball coach PJ was there, and we just sat down and we did all the stuff that we usually do for my preview, and then we just sat there and shot the breeze and talked football. And I, this is their year. This is the class that they've been, with Robbie Ramos. They have a really nice player in Matt Malone, a cornerback receiver. They've got size up front. They're big. They have 300, 260, across the front. So they're big up front. And I think this is a team that is poised to surprise some people.
Well, you're big up front, you're going to win high school football games. It's just that simple, because there's not a lot of line, especially in San Diego, where there's not a lot of linemen to go around. Look, I mean, you see the big schools like, Cathedral's got a pretty good line, probably the best line in the county. Torrey Pines has a big line. And then you start going through, it's like, now the line starts to dwindle. When you start getting down to D4, D3, D4, all of a sudden the linemen drastically change. But if you got a line and you're Escondido, you're very excited for the season, because of there's not a lot of linemen to go around. If you get three guys that are big house type dudes, you're going to be in for a good season.
They go 230, 225, 250, 280, 230 across the offensive front. And Alessandro Cardenas is a 3-year starter at right guard. So and all the linemen are returning. So If they can keep Robbie Ramos on his feet, it's hard to throw the ball from the prone position.
Absolutely.
But if they can keep him on his feet and in the pocket, they have a real chance to do some damage.
Escondido, your number one pick They're still my number three pick because of two other teams that I was talking about earlier that I think are going to finish 1-2. Moving on to Fallbrook, it's going to be tough to break down Fallbrook right now. They're 1-7 last year. The JV record was not reported. Their only win last year was against Sweetwater. Lost to Escondido, Rancho Buena Vista, Serra. They open up -46.7 on their CalPreps rating. It's going to be tough sledding for Fallbrook at Del Norte, at Sweetwater, at Castle, or not Castle Park, at Scripps Ranch, then Castle Park. They play Serra later on in the year to round off their non-league opponents. A lot of coaching changes, a lot of things off the field that are kind of hindering this Fallbrook team this year.
Yes, and I agree. Jim Fisher, who was the old new coach, came in. He played at Michigan, coached at Oregon. And his wife was Christy Gannon, who, if people know field hockey, she was an All-American and played on the U.S. Olympic team and national team, and she got an assistant field hockey coach at Michigan. So they moved back there before he ever coached a game. They hire a new coach who is very good. They lucked out in that they got a coach who has coached at Army. He's coached state champions in high school. He's coached college and at places like Army and Columbia, has a great background. And talking to him, he said that he didn't know what he was going to do because he hadn't seen his team.
No spring ball, no summer stuff. It's just bam. Here we go. It's going to be a transition year for them. Absolutely.
And he's going to put in his off. He said, you know, Jim Fisher was running what Jim Fisher was running, and that's fine. He goes, it's not my offense. And he said, I had the choice he had to make was, do I go a year with his offense, or do I go a year with my offense and defense? And he said he decided that he's going to go with his offense and defense, and he's got to put it in what, 20 practices, and before they play their first game.
That's a tough decision to make as a coach, because it's either I'm going to go with what the kids know already just to get to the year, but in doing so, it kind of puts me back
right
a year to do it. When the thing that stinks is the seniors. It's going to stink for the seniors, especially, you know, they got to learn a new offense all of a sudden. They got to learn a new defense. They got to get ready for the season, their last year of high school football. And it's, you know, you're already thinking about, they're already really thinking about next year.
Right.
In terms of, all right, I got to get my offense installed. If I start now, we should be ready to go by 2020. This year's going to stink, but at least I'm going to start be able to build a culture up. And it's kind of tough because you don't want to, you know, basically tell the seniors this season doesn't matter. And I know it's not. I mean, the season matters for the head coach. It matters for the players. It doesn't really matter. They're not thinking, the Major League Baseball philosophy of we're going to be good in 3 years. But it's a transition period where I'm going to try to get my guys ready as I try to rebuild this culture and get this team back to where it used to be. And unfortunately, it's not going to pay off with the wins and losses in 2019.
Yes, and I agree. And if you've ever seen a game at Fallbrook, it is a great football town. It's like Ramona Valley Center. It's a one horse town, and I mean that in the right way, in a good way. It people get fired up. It's Friday night lights. They want to see their team, but they have struggled mightily over the last few years because they're losing athletes. The athletes are going north to Great Oak, to Linfield Christian. They're going down the backside to Mission Vista and to Oceanside and Vista and El Camino. And the biggest thing they have to do now is keep their kids home and get their numbers up. I understand their freshman numbers are way up. Jim Fisher did a great job of recruiting the city of Fallbrook, and they have like 60 freshman kids out, and if they can keep, and you know as well as anybody, Brent, if you have 60, if you can keep 30, if you can keep half of those kids, then you've got a chance as you climb the ladder. And I think that's what they're hoping for is, you know, we the numbers on the varsity are up. They've recruited their campus pretty well. We're going to get our tails kicked in a little bit this year. But let's build, and we got a chance.
It could be a situation where all of a sudden, like the last two games of the season, finally starts to click, and all of a sudden they start winning games, start building for next season. But you're talking about, real quick, as we try to break down the rest of the Valley League here, we got a lot of teams we got to get to, but teams that are starting to just hang on to their kids. You see it with Lincoln. Lincoln's yes. hanging on to their kids now, and yes. they're not going to Madison. They're not going to Mission Bay. They're not going to they're not going to all these other surrounding schools. They're staying home. They're not going to Helix anymore. They're staying home, and look what they have now. They had a CIF championship season last year. They're supposed to be really good again this year, and you're seeing a lot more with a lot of these teams. The North County schools are hanging on to their kids a little bit more. It's a little bit easier for them to hang right. on to their kids. They got more resources, facilities, all that sort of thing. But when you're starting to get kids to stay at home, it's a lot better for high school football. And instead of having four power teams and everybody else is kind of there, you start building up and everybody's kind of even caliber. It makes for better football. And hopefully Fallbrook can start hanging on to some of those kids. Because I know in North County, Mission Hills is starting to get a lot more kids. And, you know, some of the schools up in North County are kind of exchanging kids.
Right.
And not keeping the ones by their, you know, the quote-unquote neighborhood kids as well. Moving on to another place that you're talking about, like with Fallbrook, Friday Night Lights Town, Ramona. It's a, you know, what football town. They love their football up there. It's always a great atmosphere to go to games there. They're coming in 7-4 from last year. Their JV went 7-3. They beat Poway last year, Sampa School, and Olympian. Not a bad wins for Ramona. They did lose to Valley Center, Point Loma, and Granite Hills a year ago as well. Only four guys coming back. They got to replace Derek Diamond, the baseball player. I know he was injured a little bit last year as well, but he's a stud player that they're going to have to replace, and we only got four guys coming back officially. You know, there's a lot of guys that need to step up and make some plays for this Ramona team. Olympian, Point Loma, Poway, Mount Carmel, Mission Hills is their non-league schedule before they get to league. There's a lot of games in there that look like losses for me when you're looking at how difficult that first five games are.
Yeah, and I agree. I think Ramona is one of the better coach teams in the county. You know, Damon Baldwin is a college coach, coached at San Diego State, played in the NFL. He knows what he's doing. But he's going to start seven underclassmen on offense and five on defense. And his quarterback's a junior, his running back's a sophomore, and he had two key injuries already in the preseason. And, you know, he'll get those players back, but maybe not until league. So I think
he's not going to have those players for a lot of big time games in the first 5 weeks, especially
right.
You got Mission Hills on the schedule. That's a tough game to win when you're at full strength, let alone
yes.
being down a couple guys.
Yes, and Mission Hills is up.
Yes.
You know, they were at 5-6 last year, you know, 5-7, and that's on Mission Hills like, and it's not going to happen again. But I think Damon says he thinks he's going to be very competitive, but he thinks with this team, if he can keep this group together, all these young kids, that they will get better next year and challenge for the league, and then their senior year, 2 years from now, he said they're going to be back to playing Ramona football, be a team that's looking at a 10-win season.
The bad news is their non-league schedule is pretty tough. The good news is I think they can still beat the majority of their league, so they might be battle-tested in time for Sampa
yeah.
Squall.
The league is
week.
The league is down. The league yes. is not a great league this year.
Well, think about it. If Ramona just got moved into their league last year. Could you imagine this league right now with Ramona in the Palomar League, and all of a sudden it's Escondido? It's, I mean, basically it's Escondido versus Valley Center, and everybody else is just kind of there.
Yes.
But Ramona, to me, I think they're going to come in second this season behind potentially Valley Center. Valley Center always has some good teams, but let's get to Rancho Buena Vista. 4-7 last year. They had one of the top rushers in the country in Dorian Richardson. They beat Escondido, Irvine, and Fallbrook last year. Notable losses, they lost to Westview, gave Westview their only win last season. They lost to Sampa Squall and Santa Fe Christian. Coming into this year, -25.1 rating. They did not list their JV record or their returning starter. Open up with Westview again, this time at home. Then they got Monta Vista, who's going to be tough at Vista for a rivalry game. They go up to Elsinore. They're going to play Wildemar up there in Lake. They're going to play Lake Elsinore High School. Then they got league play, and then they got Oceanside in the middle of their league play later on the season. I don't see a lot of wins for Rancho Buena Vista, let alone if they had Dorian Richardson coming back, they'd probably win four games. They don't have him coming back. They didn't list any returning starters, which to me means they probably don't have a lot of guys coming back.
Right, and I had a nice talk with Joe Meyer, their coach, and Joe's an eternal optimist. He's the son of the legendary Herb Meyer, and Joe knows football, but I think he knows that this is a team that it's going to struggle. He's going to do the same thing. He's going to hand the ball off to the tailback.
Yeah.
And he said that. You know, he said, I think, you know, we don't have a Dorian Richardson, but we have a good young man who's our tailback. We're going to hand the ball off to him, and we're going to do what we do. And to get out of personality, I think would be a mistake. But I agree. They're young, and it's going to be a struggle.
It's this whole league so far is like, it's almost like the Padres. You're talking is like they got a lot of young guys, and in a couple of years they're going to be good. But right now they're going to kind of take their licks. So we talked about it with Fallbrook. We talked a little bit about Ramona. Now we're on to RBV. Escondido's looking better and better
That's why I like Escondido, because Escondido's the one team that's a veteran team. This is the this is their first senior class for this current coaching staff. So That's why I like them.
San Pasquale is the next team on our list, 6-5 a year ago. Not too far gone from being in the D1 championship game that went to three overtimes against Cathedral. And, of course, none of those kids, freshman through senior year, are still there. But they come in 6-5. They beat Orange Glen last year as a good Orange Glen team. They beat Westview, Rancho Buena Vista, their top three wins, according to rating points. They lost to Ramona, Rancho Bernardo, and Valley Center. Enter with a 1.9 rating, according to Cal Preps. Open up at Sweetwater. It should be an easy win for them. They got Rancho Bernardo, who might be a little tough, at Westview again. Torrey Pines is another tough game for them. They got Orange Glen for the Battle of Escondido as well. And then they get into league play. San Pasquale, to me, I think they're going to finish above 500. They're going to lose the teams they lose to. They're supposed to lose to. I think they're going to beat the teams they're supposed to beat.
And I agree. And I think, they do what they do. You know, Tony Corley has coached there for a number of years, and he's been on the staff for forever. And they, they run a three-back offense. They run the option, and they are going to do what they do. And
they're gonna do that cowboy flex.
Great traditions there when they come out.
They got the gold jackets running around. They
united and they
tarp.
Throw the jacket. I mean, it's really, if you're on the other side of the field, you're going, boy, this is hokey. But if you're a San Pasquale kid, it's awesome.
I remember when my dad used to coach at St. Augustine with Jerry Ralph. They used to always play San Pasquale in non-league. Back when San Pasquale was, I want to say in their heyday, but they were a lot better back then. And they'd run out with their gold jackets, their little cowboy flex, and just be like, who the heck are we? What is going on right now with the San Pasquale team? But sure enough, San Pasquale actually beat Saints, I think, those 2 years. I'm sure Jerry will text me after hearing this podcast and go, oh, we got him this year, whatever. I only remember a game coming down on the wire in Escondido at San Pasquale. They tried to run a hook and ladder, and it got tackled at like the 4-yard line, and Saints ended up losing that particular ball game. But this San Pasquale team, well coached, like you said, they got the traditions. They usually have some size with them as well. I see them having a better year than 6-5 that they did last year. I think they finished maybe around 7-3 potentially, or 7-4 with a playoff loss mixed in there as well. Valley Center. This, to me, is the favorite every year, and it's weird to say that because they are the smallest school out of everybody they play in their league, and by far. I mean, they're basically a small private school up there at Valley Center. They get a lot of Native American kids. They got a lot of other kind of country-type folk up there at Valley Center. It's a great place to watch a game, but Gilster does a phenomenal job putting that team together, and it seems each and every year they are very successful. And when they're not successful, it's like a 4-loss season. Like it's like that to a Robbie Gilster Valley Center team is we failed expectations.
Yes.
This year they went 8-4 last year, 4-6 on JV. Which is kind of it's tough to gauge a Valley Center JV team because most of the sophomores are playing up it's a small school. They beat Ramona last year, San Pasquale, Imperial. They lost to Otay Ranch, Rancho Bernardo, and Mira Mesa. They open up at Mount Carmel. That should be a win for them. They got Otay Ranch, is kind of a tough game. Otay is going to be better. They got a good quarterback coming back, and they lost to Otay a year ago. This year they get to host them, though. They don't have to go all the way down to the South Bay. At Rancho Bernardo, they get to host Imperial as well. And then they play La Costa Canyon later on the year. I don't see them beating La Costa Canyon. I think they lose to Otay. But other than that, I think they can rip through the rest of their non-league games, and I think they can also be very successful in their league games. Return only 7 of their 22 guys, but they seem to just re-plug each and every year. I know they got to replace Mazzetti at quarterback and Big Ed Hill at offensive line, but they're going to have some guys.
Yeah, they are big. And I think for Valley Center, the key is that first game, because Mal Carmel is not going to be a pushover this year. Mal Carmel is going to be athletic, and they're going to come out and, you know, they Mal Carmel is going to want to win, and that's going to be a really good first test for both those teams. And you're right, your quarterback's gone, your tailback's gone, your receivers are gone, your kicker's gone. The line, that Robbie always does a good job. You know, he's an offensive lineman himself, and so his lines will be very well coached, and they'll be big, and they'll be strong and quick. The defense, Randy Cowell does a great job coordinating that. They fly to the ball, but I don't see a great season for them. You can see them winning because they're so well coached, but I don't know if the horses are there.
How much does that play in the factor of Orange Glen kind of being back? Do you think some kids are now going to decide to go to Orange Glen instead of go up to Valley Center? Because when Valley Center opened, they pulled a lot of talent from Orange Glen. I mean, Orange Glen was a power with Gilster there. Gilster leaves to go to Valley Center. All the kids follow them to Valley Center. Patterson is doing a great job at Orange Glen right now. Last year they went to a state championship game. Do you think they potentially start getting kids down to Orange Glen? Do you think that starts pulling kids from Valley Center?
You know, I don't think so. I think Orange Glen's more they want to keep their kids from going to San Pasquale and Escondido. The old thing was that you want to go up the backside up the Valley Center grade, and Valley Center always gave Orange Glen their linemen. And then Orange Glen had the Salisbury's, and Salisbury was a Valley Center kid, but the skill kids usually came from Escondido. The linemen came from Valley Center. And then when they took that away, and Valley Center is every home in Valley Center is on a 2-acre lot.
Yeah.
So you're getting big families, and that's with the Riley family, and they've had great families where they're getting 3, 4, 5, 6 brothers and sisters, even Gilster's children, so they need to get with those big homes. You're getting big families, and you're getting tough kids, and like you said, they're getting Native American kids who blend in very well. And the guys love them up there. They're great teammates. So but I just don't know if the experience is there this year.
Yeah. I think Valley Center, they tend to not do poorly. That's like the only reason why I'm going with them to have a good season is they I don't know how they do it each and every year. But they seem to have a really good season each and every year up there at Valley Center, and they got great kids up there. They got great size always, and they got a good mix of talent up there at Valley Center. I'm kind of torn now on who I want to pick to win this league. Escondido's got the most experience, so I like your pick right there at Escondido. It's tough for me not to pick one of the traditional powers of this league. Valley Center, they're up there. I'm kind of torn between them and maybe even a San Pasquale, just because they got the best rating out of everybody. I'm gonna go with San Pasquale on my pick. I know you're going with Escondido. It might be the three Escondido schools are all gonna have great years, I think.
Yes, I agree. I think Escondido's up. Orange Glen is they return a lot of guys from a team that played for a state championship, and they've got some transfers back from San Pasquale. They're starting to get, they're keeping their kids home and they're getting kids back.
Absolutely. I'm going to go with San Pasquale 1. I got Valley Center 2. No, I'm going to go Escondido 2, then Valley Center. Then we're going to go with Ramona, then RBV, then Fallbrook to balance out the Valley League here. As we preview all the leagues, John Maffey, thanks again for joining us. I'm sure we'll have you on a couple other podcasts as well. If you want to listen to any other league breakdown, be sure to go to 97ThroughTheFanSD.com or follow us on Twitter at 97ThroughTheFan, on Instagram at 97ThroughTheFan, Facebook, we'll have it on there, Radio.com app, iTunes, wherever podcasts can be found. It should be up and running. This has been the Valley League preview. Hopefully you guys can tune into our high school football show each and every Thursday from 9 to 11 on 97 Through the Fan. And get ready, because high school football is going to be on the air each and every Friday, starting with week one. Poway hosting Granite Hills. We're going to have a lot of games for you this year. It's going to be a fun time. Thanks for joining us again. For John Maffey, I'm Braden Ciprenet. Be sure to check out all our other podcasts right here on 97.3 The Fan.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer.
SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
The results are in. Great conversations are always on par. So follow and listen to On Par with me, Maury Povich, wherever you get your podcasts.